You have your Bibles this morning. I'd like to call your attention again to the Gospel according to St. Mark. The 15th chapter, I'm going to pick up at verse 24 and read down through verse 30. The Bible reads, "And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the subscription of his accusation was written over, 'The King of the Jews.' And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross.'" Save thyself and come down from the cross. Supporting scripture, 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 24 and 25. The Bible reads, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Save thyself and come down from the cross." And we ought to use a thought or a subject this morning. I'd like to propose a question to you this morning. Ask your neighbor, "Neighbor, do you know what happened at the cross?" Hallelujah, Jesus. Do you know what happened at the cross? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I like when it said you can't make me doubt it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not blown by every strong wind. I got a grip on my denomination. Hallelujah. I don't believe everything somebody tell me. I got a grip on the word of God. Amen. 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 You ever try to take something from them little babies that get a grip on it? You almost have to break the little hands or break the little arm, because once they get a grip. Amen. Amen. God ought to just get a grip on some of us this morning. Hallelujah. Grab us up behind the neck and jack us up a little bit. Let us know you don't belong to yourself. I'm the one that made you from the dust of the ground. You don't decide when you're going to praise me. I got a grip on you. We may not want to believe it, but that's the way it is. That grip is so tight that he can decide right now that about 12 of these folk in here going to die right now. And you just get to fall. And ain't no need of pointing the finger saying, "Who going to get it?" Be ye also ready. If you scared it might be you, then you might not be ready. Because if you ready, it don't make that much difference. Anybody love living but don't mind dying? We got any of them folk in the house this morning? Ain't no need of being afraid to die, because you're going to die. But if you got the answer to my question this morning, you don't mind dying. Do you know what happened at the cross? That's what I'm talking about. You ought to know enough about the cross to where just that question ought to be enough preaching right there. Just a question, especially for those of us that have been in the way for a while. We got some babies in here. We got some babies and some children that don't quite know. They know what they heard. They hear us talking about it and they see us wearing the crosses around our necks. But do you really know what happened at the cross? See, that cross is more than just a piece of jewelry. I don't care how much you paid for it or how big it is. This small or this big, unless you know the real meaning, it doesn't make any difference. And you can wear it all you want to wear it. It does not change what you are on the inside. You got to have something down on the inside. And if somebody sees you with a cross on the outside that don't like the fact that you're wearing the cross, that's their problem. They don't know like you know what you've gone through and how you come to a place where you recognize the cross as what it is. But today we are living in a world where we see the Bible fulfilling itself day by day. The Bible declared that in the last days that there will be wars and rumors of wars. We know that there are wars going on all over the land. Earthquakes. Happening all over the land. The Bible says that our love for one another would grow cold. Is that not happening amongst us even now? There was a time when we totally depended upon the love of family. And most families began to carry their members to a place we call the church house. And when you got to the church house, you learned that we're all family and love ye one another. Love even your enemy. Love those that despitefully use you. Love those that persecute you. Love those that don't care that much about you, but love them anyhow. Know that you're going to have enemies, but learn how to make your enemy your footstool. In other words, don't walk over folk, but don't let folk walk over you. Don't let folk begin to dictate to you what you can and can not have. Don't let folk make you feel bad about where you are in life right now. There are those of us this morning that can say, look where he brought me from. So if he brought us from somewhere, that means that wherever we were, we ought to be in a better position where we're at. But now look at where you're at right now. If where you are right now, is it pleasing to the Lord? You see, there are those of us that are inclined or think that we are supposed to please one another. But the Bible says it is better for man to obey God rather than man. Don't nobody love you like God. Can't nobody do anything for you better than God. And even though we feel like we got all of the answers, the Word of God tells us that we will become wiser, but yet we will be weaker. We're losing our strength and our power mainly because we think that we are so smart that we have all the answers. We think that we are so smart that we can get by doing things or doing people any kind of way and it's going to be hallelujah anyhow. But the Bible that I read said the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. And then when you get to the gate, he's either going to welcome you in and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, or he's going to say, depart from me. I know you're not. Well, now, you can remember Lord, why don't you know me? I go to Files Chapel. I sit on the fifth pew from the back every Sunday, and I pay my money in the church, and I try to love the people. Lord, you don't know me? No. Don't know you. Because when you just go through your church life as a form or a fashion, you're not going to get very much out of it. And I guarantee you there's not much going to come back to you, because we're so smart. We think that we are making it on our own merits. Look at me. Look where I've come from. Work hard every day. And I did this and I did that. But you couldn't have done anything had it not been for the Lord. You got to remember that the word of God says that it's in him that we live and move and have our very being. So without him this morning, I realized that we are nothing. When we began to think in terms of wisdom, it's a known fact that there are humans so smart that we consider them to be mere geniuses. Then we have the group that we call the intelligent group. And then we have the smart people. And we got a lot of people that think that they know, but they don't know. Some folk you can't tell nothing. Then there are some folk that are ready and eager and hungry to hear anything from God or anything that will help them along the way. Look at our babies today. Even 1 year old and older. Their comprehension is so sharp that it's mind-boggling the things that they already understand. So now, if a small baby that's not even 2 or 3 years old understands what's coming out of your mouth and out of my mouth, then we got to be careful what comes out of our mouths. And if those babies can understand, then if their comprehension is that strong, what is going to happen to us? Remember that King Solomon said that if we want to know anything, that out of all of our getting, get an understanding. King Solomon said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you are not afraid of God, you're not very smart at all. Don't be afraid of him to the point where you have anxiety attacks when everybody talk about God, but you ought to be afraid as to what God can do, because not only can he destroy the body, he is the bishop of your soul. You know what I like about that though? As long as he is the bishop of our souls, nothing man can do can hinder you from being blessed by God. For the word of God says that no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. See, you got to have your mind made up and know whom you belong to. And if you know who you belong to, you know the Lord will make a way somehow. There are those this morning that can say that I've been running for the Lord a long time and I'm not tired yet. But most of us have heard about the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross. Because he died and buried and got up on the third day, those of us that believe that, we believe we will have life after death. But do we really know and understand what happened at the cross? One more minute. The cross. The cross is an upright wooden stake, a post on which condemned people were executed. The Greek word for cross referred primarily to a pointed stake used in rows to form a walls of a defensive stockade. Those sentenced to death on the cross in the Roman period were usually beaten with leather lashes that resulted in severe blood loss. Victims were then generally forced to carry the upper cross beam to the execution site where the central stake was already set up. After being fastened to the cross beam by ropes or with nails, their feet were tied and they were nailed to the cross to suffer and to rot right there before the people of God. But the cross, for Christians this morning, for those of us that are believers in the word of God, those of us that believe in the power of Jesus Christ, the cross symbolizes the glory of the Christian. The fact that through this offensive death and the debt of our sins have been erased by the power of God. When they nailed them to the cross, it is a symbol of Jesus' love for you and for myself. When we look at the cross, we look at the love of God and God's power that came to save us from our sins. The Bible says, and the soldiers led him away, and they led Jesus up away to be crucified. They clothed him with purple and planted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. They began to salute him and hail him King of the Jews. The Bible says they smote him on the head with a reed and they even spit on him. This is what Jesus went through for you and for I. They bowed down and they mocked him, saying that you are some kind of king. And when they mocked him, they took off the purple robe off of him and they put his own clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. The Bible says they compelled one by the name of Simon to come and to help Jesus bear his cross. And they bring him into the place of Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. They gave him drink mingled with mirth, and he received it not. Think about it. Think about it. These are the things that were going on prior to Jesus getting there on the cross. The man that loved us so much, that had never sinned, had never did anything wrong, he were taking on all of this punishment, being beat, being spit upon, being talked about and lied on and crucified. But in the midst of it all, he stood his ground. The Bible says when they crucified him, they parted his garments and they casted lots upon them what every man would take. And about the third hour, they crucified him. And they put over him the writing, the King of the Jews. They put that writing there, but they didn't really believe that he was their king. For if they believed that he were their king, I don't believe they would have did him the way that they did. I'm reminded of an old thought that my pastor used to say, if you love me like you say you do, why do you treat me the way that you do? So if those people love Jesus Christ the way that they say that they love him, why was it that when they had an opportunity to let him come down, to let him be free, they said, crucify him? That very one that loved us, that very one that's getting ready to die for us, has already been beat with many stripes, but yet the people of God are saying, crucify him. The Bible says that there were two thieves, one on the left and one on the right, so that the scripture could be fulfilled, that he was hanged with the transgressors. But he was a good man. He was a divine man, a man that never did anything wrong. The Bible says that when they passed by, they railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, oh, thou that destroyed the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, can you not bring yourself down off the cross? Oh, God. When I think about Jesus hanging there on the cross, when I think about the fact that they asked him the question, Lord, why don't you come down if you got so much power? But anybody in here glad that he didn't come down? Yeah. Glory. If Jesus had a came down off the cross, we probably wouldn't even be here to talk about it this morning. If he had a come down off the cross, a lot of us would be lost right now. But I thank God that he stayed there on the cross. And I thank God for the man by the name of Isaiah. They realize that one day in this life of ours, there's going to come a man that's going to put on the whole armor of God. He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Like sheep we all have gone astray. and every man hath turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Anybody glad this morning to know that God is on your side? Do you know what happened at the cross? They told our Lord to come down off the cross. But the Bible said, who with his own self bare sins on his own body, he was hung down on the tree. He died for your sins and my sins so that we might have the right to the tree of life. I want to know, do you know what happened at the cross? It was at the cross that I heard the Lord say, come unto me all ye that labor and I will be at rest. Do you know what happened at the cross? At the cross, the Bible lets us know that God gave all his all. He led and he died. He bled and he died. He bled and he died. He bled and he died for your sins and for my sins. But I thank God for the hymn that come out with the hymn. At the cross, where I first saw the light, alas, indeed, my Savior bleed, and then my sovereign cried, would he devote a sacred lamb for such a one as I? Was it for crime that I have done your sins and my sins? But it was at the cross that our God stood there and said, everything is going to be all right. I got all power in my hand. Do you know what happened at the cross? At the cross, I got peace. At the cross, I got joy. At the cross, I got deliverance. At the cross, I got happy. I got happy because I fell down at his feet. And I heard my God say that everything is going to be all right. I want to know this morning, do you really know? Do you really understand what happened at the cross? At the cross, where I saw the light, I heard my Lord say that everything gonna be all right. I heard Jesus there on the cross that I'm not worried about my children. I'm gonna die, but on the third day, I'm not gonna stay in the grave. I'm gonna get up out the grave. And when I get out of the grave, I'm gonna get up with all power in my hand. Anybody believe it? Anybody know that God got all power? What happened at the cross? At the cross, all of my faults. At the cross, all of my wrongdoings. At the cross, all of my wickedness was washed away by the blood of the Lamb. They pierced him in the side, and the Bible says that blood and water ran down. Well, that blood washed me. That blood cleansed me. That blood made a way out of nowhere. I thank God that it was at the cross. It was at the cross. It was at the cross where I got what I needed. It was at the cross that our Savior died. It was at the cross where they looked up at him and some wagged their head. Some murmured and complained. Said, if you are the Christ, come down off the cross. But I hear Jesus saying, I cannot come down. I gotta stay here. I gotta die here. But I won't be dead long. In 3 days, everything gonna be all right. Do you know what happened at the cross? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't know, shame on you. But I thank God. I thank God for the cross. Because that cross, oh glory, that cross, it has such significant meaning to we, the people of God. It was at the cross that your Savior died for your sins. Do you really understand what Jesus went through there at the cross? Oh, glory. You look around and all of those that are sick. And then you look at Isaiah, where it says that by thy stripes are ye healed. Glory. That's enough right there to make you want to run to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I ain't worried about nobody else this morning, but here I am. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God says to us this morning, I'm your God. I'm always going to be here. I stand with my arms wide open. I'm waiting on you to come unto me. If you're burdened, if you're heavy laden, if you just don't know how you're going to make it, I'm a way maker. Hallelujah. Anybody know him as a way maker?